Every Christian has a spiritual bank account, but not every Christian is qualified to write checks.
Dr. Tony Evans explains why you may not have access to your deposits.
Only those who humble themselves before God will find their checks cashed at the bank vault in heaven.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. They say everybody's got baggage, but the load you're carrying through life may be a lot heavier than it needs to be. Today, Dr. Evans explains how fasting can help you get those burdens off your back. Let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 1 as we join him.
But today I want to talk about burdens. First of all, let me clarify the concept of a burden. What is a burden? A burden is a load, something to be carried. That is, it's a weight, something crushing you down. When you try to stand up, it keeps you bent over. It is a situation or a circumstance that weighs you down. A burden can keep you in bed when you know you need to get up. A burden can keep you up when you know you need to go to sleep. A burden can make you cry even when everything is funny around you. A burden makes you sigh because there is a weight to a burden. It's a load. It makes you tired. Are there any burdens in the house? People with weights on their back, in the pits of their stomach, giving them migraine headaches because the weight of the problem, situation, circumstance, or scenario is just too heavy. In Nehemiah 1, we see his burden. His brother, Hanani, according to verse 2, with some men, had asked concerning the Jews who had escaped and survived the captivity, and about Jerusalem, he wanted to know how the folks were faring back home. And they said to me, the remnant there in the province which survived the captivity are in great distress and reproach, and the wall of Jerusalem, they're broken down, and the gates are burned with fire. In other words, no progress. In fact, if anything, things are worse. We had freedom, and now we're back in our own self-imposed slavery. That may not mean much to you to say the walls are broken down, the community is in reproach. But if you understood what those words meant, you understand the burden. The walls meant security. For the walls to be up meant things were secure. The city was intact. One of the things you see when you go to Israel are the walls of the city. Those walls going up many feet up in the air, surrounding the totality of the old city of Jerusalem. For those walls not to be there meant there was no security. It meant there was no government. It meant that people didn't care anymore. It meant there was high crime. He says, we are a laughingstock, a reproach. People make fun of us because we've made absolutely no progress in our lives these 141 years we've been back from captivity. He understood that there was no progress, no stability. And when you read the book of Nehemiah, you see all the problems that were associated with walls that were down, gates that were burned, families were divided, there was inequity of finance, there was a graft in government, there was oppression of the poor, there was family chaos. All of that is in the book of Nehemiah because the walls were broken down. And if you're burdened today, there's some walls in your life that ought to be up that are broken down. And Satan can walk in and out of your life whenever he chooses. Because the walls aren't up. He can have his way with you. You can come here today, hear this great music, I'm available to you, hear a great sermon, feel like the walls are up, and walk out that door. And he sets them aflame again. where the gates are burned with fire. And you don't know how to shut out the discouragement, how to shut out the depression, how to shut out the pain. All you can say is, oh, pain, go away, because you're burdened. Verse 4 says, now it came about, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for many days, and I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Notice his response to a burdensome scenario. By the way, if you're wondering whether you are burdened, you're not burdened. Folks who are burdened have no doubt that they are burdened. In fact, if you're wondering whether you are burdened, stop thinking about it lest you create a burden. Just praise the Lord. Because burdened folk don't have to wonder about it. Because it's heavy. It weighs down on your soul and on your spirit. You feel this weight. And it often shows up in your tear ducts. He says he wept and he mourned for many days. He was weighed down and his emotions erupt. Oh, you know when you're burdened. Because when you're burdened, you can't stop crying when you want to. When you're burdened, there are extra boxes of Kleenex kept nearby. When you're burdened, it consumes you. And you have to work hard to hide it. But notice what he did. He fasted and prayed. He didn't just pray. Because remember, fasting in the Bible was attached when it was serious. This was not a diet program. This was to call on God to intervene in whatever is burdening you. You see, if you're like me, prayer often gets pushed aside. Even when you don't want to push it aside. It gets pushed aside by emergencies. It gets pushed aside by scheduling. It gets pushed aside because I don't feel like praying in a given moment. It can get pushed aside by a television program that I'd rather see. It can get pushed aside because I'm tired today. Prayer easily gets pushed aside. But when you fast, you push aside you for prayer. There's the great reversal. Prayer can easily be pushed aside by me. But when stuff get deep enough, you push something aside that means a lot to you. Generally it's food, but it can be any physical gratification that you push aside because you are desperate. You know why some of us don't fast? We just haven't got desperate enough. So, the concept of a burden is a weight that weighs heavy on the life that you are unable to shake, that produces sadness and mourning and discouragement, that drives you to give up a craving of the body, food, because you have a greater need of the soul, prayer. And he prayed before the God of heaven. That leads to the communication regarding a burden. What do I say when I go to God if I have a burden? If I give up my afternoon meal today, what do I tell God about my burden? If I say on Wednesday morning I'm going to give up breakfast to lay before God my burden, what do I tell him? Nehemiah lays out the prayer for burden. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who preserves the covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. Let thine ear be attentive and thy eyes be open to hear the prayer of thy servant, which is praying before thee day and night. Notice what he did not do. He did not begin his prayer with his request. In fact, you're going to discover in just a second that his prayer goes from verse 5 to verse 11, and only in verse 11 does he bring up what he's praying for. His specific request is at the end. Most of his time is getting there. Why? Because when you have something heavy, weighty, burdensome, holding you down that you can't lift up, you need to be reminded that the one to whom you are going is heavier than the heaviness of the burdensome burden weighing you down.
But it's not just God's power we can depend on when we're burdened. There's something else we can count on, and Dr. Evans will come back to tell us about it in just a moment. First, though, if Tony's messages on the subject of fasting are hitting home, you need to know that they're only a small part of his two-volume collection on the subject. The set is called Fasting, the Key to Spiritual Victory. And if you contact us right away, we'll send you all 14 full-length messages as our thank you gift when you help us keep Tony's teaching on this station with a contribution of any size. Don't forget, this offer ends soon, so visit us right away at tonyevans.org or call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222 for details before time runs out. I'll have our contact information again for you a little later on, after part two of today's lesson and this message.
Whether you're facing a decision or a dilemma, it's smart to ask, what would Jesus do? But first you have to know what Jesus did and what God has to say about the situations you face. Well, if building your biblical foundation is your goal, the help you need is as close as your computer or mobile device, thanks to the Tony Evans Training Center. It's packed with online courses covering core concepts of the faith and in-depth scripture studies you can work through any time you want, at any pace you want. Along the way, you'll explore key teachings and learn how to apply them in real-world situations. There's lots of exclusive content from Tony to keep you interested and motivated, and an online forum where you can ask questions, get answers, and collaborate with other students. It's almost like having a seminary on your smartphone. Visit TonyEvans.org today and connect with the Tony Evans Training Center, where you can explore the kingdom anytime, anywhere.
I want you to notice something else that Nehemiah does. He talks to God before he talks to the professionals. He didn't first go to the government and say, let's have a rebuilding walls convention. Because he understood this was deeper. He understood for this problem to last this long meant it was deeper. This wasn't just something that you go and write a letter to your congressman about. This is deeper. And because it was deeper, he consults God first. In fact, he says he mourned for many days. He not only reminded himself of God's power, he also reminded himself of God's faithfulness. He says in verse 5, your loving kindness to those who love him. Your hesed, your faithful, loyal love. Don't only remind yourself of God's power if you're burdened here today. Remind yourself of his faithfulness. Great is that faithfulness. God is not only omnipotent, he is faithful. And you praise him for who he is. Because who he is what you need him to be in the burden that you're carrying. He also understands to deal with this, he's got to deal with sin. He's got to confess sin, verse 6. Confessing the sins of the sons of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. It's not just y'all. It's not just them. It's us. And it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord. Oh yes, I know your mate may have caused your burden, but was there anything in your response that you must own as your sin? Not their sin. Own up to your own sin and don't excuse it. Come clean. We have acted corruptly, verse 7. We have not kept your commandments, nor your statutes, nor your ordinances. So I admit my failure in this problem. The reason why this is important is because only when we are positioned right under God can we expect to hear from God. Every Christian has a spiritual bank account. But not every Christian is qualified to write checks. Only those who humble themselves before God will find their checks cashed at the bank vault in heaven. And so he goes to God. Notice what he says in verse 8. Watch this now. Remember. Remember what you said. You told us if we were unfaithful and didn't do right, you were going to scatter us among the people. But that's not all you said. You also said, if we return to you and do what you say do, even though you judged us, you would bring us back from the remotest parts of heaven, gather you, and put us back in the place where you have your name. And you told us that you would redeem us by your great power and your strong hand. Remember, God has obligated himself to his word. And one of my practices now in prayer, both when I'm fasting and when I'm not, is to throw God's word back up in God's face. If you're trying to get over a sin, you open your Bible to Psalm 51 and you pray God's word back to him, where David says that you promised God that if I would come to you, you would forgive me, and I confess my sin and I need to be removed from the burden of my sin. If you're in a financial need, you open up to Philippians 4:19, but my God is able to supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I have a need, God. Here's what your word says, God. Let's you and me read it together, God, for you said you'd supply all my needs according to your riches in Christ Jesus. So since you said it, since you can't lie, God, I'm going to trust you to relieve my financial burden because you're God. I'm going to pray God's word back to him. If I'm worried, I read from Philippians chapter 4, be anxious for nothing. You told me not to worry. You said there's no need in both of us worrying. So you said be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the God will guard my mind and heart in Christ Jesus. Do you remember what you said? He prays back to God, God's own word. He holds God accountable to what God said. That leads to his petition. Remember, he only gives one verse to his petition. Oh Lord, I beseech thee. Here's what I'm asking. May thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, and the prayer of thy servants who delight to revere thy name, which he's already done, great and awesome God, God of heaven. Make thy servant successful today and grant him compassion before this man. Now I was a cupbearer to the king. He says, this is what I'm requesting, God. I am requesting that when I go into the king today, that you will make me successful and that he will allow me to go back home and fix the problem of broken walls and burned down gates. I'm praying today, Lord, that you will grant me success in what I am planning to do to see this burden removed. Grant me success. And isn't that your prayer if you're burdened today? Make a way, Lord. Show me how to do it, Lord. Give me a supernatural intervention by you, Lord. Come through, Lord. That's his request. One verse to the petition, all the other verses is to the glory of God and praying his word back to him. That leads to a third thing. We now understand the concept of burdens. We now have seen the communication regarding your burdens. Let's look at the solution. Now it came about in the month of Nisan. Nisan is April. There is a 4.5-month gap between when he starts praying and when he hears from heaven. You got to pray with me now. There are 4.5 months. His prayer is, answer me today in Chislev. But the author wants us to know God didn't answer to Nisan. He prayed specifically, I want to hear today. But God is always going to be God. And God doesn't respond to Nisan. Some of you have been praying about some things. You may not have fasted yet, and maybe you need to add that. But some of you have been seriously about God, and you said, Lord, today. And God's saying, no, it's not nice in yet. God had strategically placed him in a position to solve the very problem that he was burdened about. He kept praying because you remember what I said? You pray till you get an answer. Okay? You want to know how long you pray? Till you get an answer. He said in verse 11, God, open up the way today. But the way was not open that day for the promotion. The way was not open for the job change. The way was not open for the mate. The way was not open to relieve the burden that day. But when it was open, it was clear it was open. Because the king brought it up. And the king said, what's the problem, Nehemiah? Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place, my father's tomb lies desolate and its gates are consumed with fire? Then the king said, watch this, what would you request? Ask me. See, when God comes and lifts it, there's no question God came and lifted it. Because God lets the king offer to provide the solution. He said, give me success when I go to this man today. That wasn't the right day. Now, why wasn't it the right day? Why the 4.5 month wait? Well, you have to know some historical background. Let me give you the brief version of it. A lot of wars had broken out in Syria. A lot of conflicts that threatened Persia, which is where Nehemiah is with King Artaxerxes. When he hears that Nehemiah wants to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the city, it dawns on him that is perfect. Because now I will have my man Nehemiah rebuilding a citadel for Persia when he rebuilds Jerusalem, so that if the Syrian wars get out of hand, I will have a stable place that can serve as my command post in dealing with the Syrian outbreaks if so needed. So it's a good idea to let Nehemiah go back there because it fits my plan of having an outpost to deal with Syrian problems if they so unveil themselves. The reason why God didn't answer his prayer in Chislev, but waited till Nisan, is he waited till a time when even the king could appreciate the answer to prayer. It had to solve more than one problem. God may not have come through you on your job yet, because in order for him to fix your burden, he got two or three other saints he got to do something for at the same time. So he's holding off on you till he gets straight over there, so that when he brings the whole package together, everybody's happy. The reason why he may not have shown you your mate yet is that your mate may not be saved yet. So he's got to get the evangelist to him to win him to Christ, so that by the time you meet him, we got two Christians and not a non-Christian and a Christian coming together. God has always got a way. The reason he may not have given you your child yet is because he knows what the future holds. He knows that if the child is born now, it would not be the proper time in terms of things that need to be worked out in your marriage relationship. So he's holding out some things now till some things get fixed later, because God is always looking at the big picture.
Dr. Tony Evans, asking you to trust the power and faithfulness of the Lord. If you'd like to get the complete full-length version of this message, check with us for details on the title Fasting for Burdens. Better yet, you can receive it as a part of Tony's current 2-volume series, Fasting, the Key to Spiritual Victory, packed with bonus content and entire messages we don't have time to present on the air. And as I mentioned earlier, we're offering this 14-lesson CD collection as our thank you gift when you support The Alternative with a contribution of any amount. Give us a call at 1-800-800-3222 or visit us at tonyevans.org, where you can make your contribution online. And when you do, we'll say thanks by sending you the giant 2-volume fasting series. Does it feel like the answers to your deepest needs are just a little bit beyond your reach? Tomorrow, Dr. Evans has some suggestions that might bring them closer as he takes a look at the biblical practice of fasting. Be sure to join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.